Welcome to the Niches You. My name is Matt Gottesman at Matt Gottesman on Instagram, and this is my daily podcast where I create short, quick hitting episodes to help you uncomplicate life, creativity, and the pursuit of your highest self. There's only main character energy here. Now let's get into it. Welcome to episode 261. To win at your passions, you have to break the resistance at every stage. To win at your passions, you have to break the resistance at every stage. This is real. And I think that a lot of times when people see others going after their passions or the thing that they are very passionate about and means the world to them, that they think that it might come only with ease. Every person will be met with resistance. It's how you handle the resistance when it comes. And I want to make that clear because I feel like that makes it relatable to all of you, that it's not that when you see, now, yes, you can look at somebody naturally talented and be like, wow, that's natural talent, but they still have resistance. They're constantly getting better. You know, it's why are they not maybe breaking through the glass ceiling of where they're currently at? How do they get to a next level? How do they, get to the mastery of it? Are they good enough? Are they, then you've got the mental and the mindset component. I mean, there's a lot of things that can get in the way. And then there's comparison. There's a lot of different things, but there's resistance in anything you do. I say that you might as well, if you're going to have resistance, be in the things that you want to go after, right? And I've had several great conversations with creators all over the world recently. Costa Rica, UK, Australia, Tokyo, California, New York, Florida. It's a lot of really just great places. And, you know, we talk about creativity. We talk about the life of a quote unquote creator or going after your thing. And really, whether it's, you know, as an entrepreneur or an artist or a creative or whatever that might be, it's definitely carving a new path. It requires a lot. It really does. And let's not forget also the external resistance, the outside world telling you you're crazy as well, right? And in some of these conversations, you know, thinking about a couple folks where, we were talking about what happens when, even if we get into, I don't want to say like depression, but like just a block or a depressed kind of moment, if you will, and how it's an illusion. And not that it's not real, but it's not at the same time. Meaning like, when we feel blocked, sometimes in those moments, those bits of resistance, we actually have to dive into the creativity. And it sounds so ironic and contradictory and contrarian, but it's true. I think you could use contrarian there, but like it's true. It's the opposite, right? It's the opposite. And because if you don't feel like being creative, that's the exact time to do it. You hear this all the time, like, you know, feel the fear and do it anyways. It's because biologically, when you are, so think about it like this. Let's say you don't want to do something, but then all of a sudden you start, I don't care, just pick up a paintbrush and you start painting. And the outside world shrinks, the noise gets quiet, and now you are brought more present. And in a calm nervous system, your receptivity in your brain can fire on. And whether it's biologically that we can now receive answers, if you will, I say it's actually also a mixture biologically and spiritually, because you can feel a next move, a next answer, or anything like that. And so a lot of times the thing that we have to do is the opposite of what we're actually feeling. And that's a level of resistance. So anyways, there's a book out there, The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. And I wanted to pull some concepts out of there that I thought would be great to break down. There's the concept of resistance, the forms of resistance, combating resistance, turning pro, the higher realm. I like how he reverts to the higher realm. He talks about the muse or divine inspiration. I like to refer to God. And I think it all works, really, to be perfectly honest. And then territory versus hierarchy and the artist's life. And there's some really great points that I extracted out of this that I want to bring up. So invisibility. So let's first talk about the concept of resistance. Number one, the concept of resistance, invisibility. Resistance is not easily detectable, making it hard to recognize and address. Internal source, it originates from within and feeds on fear. Universality, everyone experiences resistance, no one is exempt, which we've just talked about. Targeting, it attacks more ferociously when you undertake more personally meaningful or higher ceilings, right? So in those moments where, you're doing something you've maybe never done before, but you know it's also right. This happens to me all the time. Even in launching the apparel site, I had helped companies and brands with my former team build Shopify stores. I never actually built one myself. I built it myself. And I'm working with the manufacturer and the distributor and, you know, of the apparel while also integrating their systems into my Shopify. There was a lot of different moments of resistance because I'm undertaking something both more personally meaningful and that I hadn't done before. It's a higher, sorry, not a higher ceiling as I said before, but a higher calling. Higher callings freak everybody out. You're not alone. You're not. They freak everybody out because it's like, who, me? I mean, Moses, for sake, was like, who, me? Like, God, me? You, like, do you know who I am? I even have a, you know, Moses said he had a stutter. He's like, who am I to go into Egypt and tell Pharaoh, hey, you gotta let my people go, you know? He was so humble because he was like, who am I? Are you kidding me? And I think every one of us can relate to that. I mean, I definitely give a lot of people credit who are like, nope, I'm all in it, whatever, you know, but they still have freak out moments. Everybody can have a freak out moment. The calling is so vast sometimes, all the time, really, just because it's something greater than maybe you are currently experiencing, period. And we freak out over uncertainty. That's what humans do. But that's where all of the love and art and flow is. Because we have to surrender to God and we have to surrender to our gifts and we just have to move. And it teaches us to have trust and faith. And that is difficult for a lot of humans, especially when we have human interactions that might have taught us other things. And maybe there's some bad outcomes from the human world, right? From the human point of things. And then he mentions under the concept of resistance, symptoms, procrastination, self-doubt, fatigue, and distractions are common symptoms. Are you experiencing any of these? Persistency. Resistance will reoccur daily and requires constant vigilance to combat. We all receive it. I have days. This is how you get better, because you have to acknowledge, why am I having this? What can I do better? Number two, the forms of resistance. This was great. Procrastination. The most common manifestation often disguised as waiting for the perfect moment. There is no perfect moment. And I'm telling you, if you are down in the dumps right now, you are having your hardest time, do something, anything creative. And it doesn't have to have a future. It just has to have a moment right now so you can just break from the doldrums of everything else that might be pressing you right now. It will bring you present and it'll give you a feeling that you'll be like, wait a minute, can I feel like this more? Yes. Should I be doing this more? Well, either that or something like that. If you want to stay doing that thing, at least you got a feeling that you now know what that feels like. Another form of resistance, drama. Creating unnecessary conflicts in life as a distraction. Any of you guys do that? Creating unnecessary conflicts in life as a distraction. Yes, right? Oh, you know what? I'll go help these people over here. Oh, you know what? Like, this just happened. I don't really have the space or the time. And by the way, happens to all of us. Can happen to all of us. You know what? I'll put off until later on after I get through this thing. Right? Everybody can do it. Another one, self-medication. Using drugs, food, sex, or other vices to avoid work. Right? You know what? I'll go do this instead. You know what? I'm going to go eat something instead of just finishing this project. Whatever it might be. Right? Victimhood, adopting a mindset that external factors are responsible for one's failures, and criticism of others, attacking the works of others as a way to justify one's own inaction. That's a big one. That's where the comparison comes in. Oh, they do it this way. They do it that way. And by the way, I brought this up on the podcast before. You might be right. You might look at somebody who doesn't do it as good as you, but they're out there doing it. You're pissed that they're doing it. You're pissed at yourself because you're not doing it. I understand. I've been there before. I've like looked at some people. I'm like, really? Like, that's so basic. Like, they're not even really helping the people. In fact, if anything, it's a little sketch. And I've had people be like, then you tell people how to do it. I'm like, shit, you're right. You know, I guess I hadn't thought of it that way, where like I was avoiding in a lot of ways. I was like, well, I'll just like to just do it. And they're like, yeah, but maybe others want to learn from that too. And I'm like, you're right. Number three, combating resistance. That's a big little section right here. Big little section. Did I just say that? Well, but it's true. It's big and it's a small part of the book here. But combating resistance, daily work emphasizes the necessity of showing up and working every day, regardless of mood. Daily work emphasizes the necessity of showing up and working every day, regardless of mood. Why is this key? There have been days. Now, well, I'll get to that here in a moment. There have been days that I didn't want to do any work, but I still showed up for my schedule. I'm not saying do work every day. There are days we do need to take off. Absolutely. Especially if you start finding yourself in too much of a force. It's more so of the consistency of showing up. That's why I do the whole calendar exercise and know exactly what I'm supposed to do at every part of the day. It became part of my own habits. I know what I should be working on. And I still keep messing that up. I keep like making it better and better and better because it's a constant. It's constantly being optimized. But I know exactly when to show up every single time. Persistence, committing to the long-term grind, not just in bursts of inspiration. So, you know, the grind, I don't mean hustle and grind for, you know, if it's in the wrong areas and it comes at your health. It's more so the persistence of, can you work through whether you have resistance or inspiration? You cannot rely on just inspiration. I do not. In fact, I a lot of times don't have it, but it's me showing up that all of a sudden, like, honestly, it strengthened another area of my relationship with God, because I'll just show up. I'm like, oh, I'm here to paint today. Not really actual paint, but you get what I'm saying. And then it's turned on, comes right through me. I'm like, this is awesome. This is fun. And something that didn't exist previously. And it showed me how to also rely on God more versus the external world. Now, I do have other means in the external world that inspire me if I need as well, too. But just the showing up first part was important. He also talks about in combating resistance, routine, establishing and adhering to a strict routine and schedule. I know that there's a lot of schools of thought on this. And some people just say, no, all you need to do is work. No, all you need to do is make sure that, you know, you go out and walk barefoot in the grass for however long. Every individual has to figure out a daily life that works for them. That was the whole purpose of the Average Perfect Day exercise in the show notes, in the Clarity Workshop. You have to figure out the routine for your life. But routine brings consistency. Consistency brings clarity. Clarity brings direction. Direction brings outcomes and your life. There you go. The fourth part in the combating resistance, acceptance of isolation, embracing solitude as necessary for creative endeavors. Now, I put up a post that went viral on Instagram. You guys can go check it out. It was a bunch of different folks talking about, you know, I don't go out, I don't party, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't this. You know, there was isolation. There was only having a small circle. It was, for the most part, very well received by 7 million people and 330,000 likes. But there was also quite a few folks who, they A, didn't read the caption, and B, went on a tear about how, like, oh, complete isolation, that's, you know, leads to mental illness. That's not what this is about. And that's not what that video meant for me either, and what I explained in the caption. I am not talking about completely being isolated from the rest of the world for the rest of your life. I do believe you need alone time, downtime, even with your families. You need alone time so you can constantly be the better person for you, your family, the outside world in general. You need time for yourself to create, reflect, to do the work, to work out, to write, to pray, to meditate. It's your right, and you need to. And then the fifth point in combating resistance, realistic expectations, understanding that setbacks and failures are part of the process, and they are. They're just pivots. The fourth part of The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield, turning pro, mindset shift, transitioning from hobbyist to professional in attitude and dedication. If you love it, treat it like it's the Olympics. Say, you know what? I got the Olympics in 4 years. I gotta stay on this right now. That's it. And it'll give you a different level and dedication to it. And you will find yourself in mastery very, very swiftly. And that's the difference right there in turning pro. It's a very big thing, because you're like, oh, I'm figuring this out, because you love it. even on days that you're burnt out, you still love it. And it teaches you something about yourself and also about your relationships too, because you realize what real dedication and commitment looks like versus just, you know, days you want to quit. You know, I see a world, and I get it. I mean, there's a lot of relationships that maybe shouldn't be relationships, but there's a lot of relationships that should be. And if more people understood commitment to themselves, they would understand commitment to a loved one, another person. In the Turning Pros section, it also talks about professional habits, developing habits that sustain productivity and discourage complacency. Productivity. I never did systems. I never did calendaring. I never did some of the stuff that I've been putting up on the on Instagram stories that everybody, you know, are 135 and, you know, and the clarity workshop, all these things. I didn't do those things for many, many years. Once I started to do that, I found myself in productivity. I have the highest amount of output that I've ever had in the least amount of hours. Because I constantly optimize for how I do my work. I want to be smart with it. I want it to be integrated. I want it to be effective. I want it to be scalable. I want it to be smart. And it took time to get there. Then he talks about emotional distance, learning to separate oneself from one's work to handle criticism and rejection objectively. Because in doing so, you realize if you're more tapped in and tuned to your work, I think you're more receptive and you take things less personal. Yes and no. It has its moments because I have to know who the audience. You know another craftsman when they give you advice that's just solid critique, you know, and how to do something better, but you know that they're in the game and that they're telling you as well. And you're much more open to it. But then you also know how to deal with the rejection where others may, you're like, oh, you may not get it or it may not be for you. Or maybe like, you know, maybe it's not being accepted by some circle for, you know, you're playing in the same field. Doesn't matter. You learn to be like, oh, wow, this is really just all about my relationship with me and with God. And then financial and personal responsibilities. Professionals manage their finances and personal life to support their vocations. Period. When you're turning pro, that's why, like, when I went all in on me and I bet I saved for that. I planned for that. I invested for that. I created, you know, from previous experience to allow myself to do that. And then commitment to growth, continuous improvement and learning in their craft. Period. We are forever a student. We may be a teacher of sorts because of how far we go, but we are forever a student. Always, we're always learning. And then in the 5, 6, and 7 of War of Art, you know, the higher realm, territory versus hierarchy in the artist's life. So in the higher realm, he says inspiration is divine, treating the muse or inspiration as sacred, almost divine element. It is divine element. It is God. That's where I will say it is God. It is source and creator. It is your intuition working through you. He says daily invocations, routine practices or rituals to invite and evoke inspiration. I pray and meditate. I thank God. I have real conversations, but I also read from Torah and Bible and a lot of different elements of like the blueprint, if you will. But I talk to God and I write in a journal to God and I allow God to work through me. And with the higher realm, humility, openness to ideas and respect for the craft. Humility, acknowledging that the creative process is partly beyond one's control and requires humility before the muse, before God. Humility. I've said this a million times. Humility is a superpower. It absolutely is. With humility, be like, humility, even in the physical world. Hey, so-and-so, I love your work. I love how you're doing it. I'm, you know, currently in and involved. Are there some tools that you recommend that I can better my work with? That's humility. Hey, how did you get to there? I'm working from in that same discipline. I would love to get your feedback. Yeah, not everybody might give you the advice. Whatever, that says something about their character. I love giving the advice. I'm like, if I'm asked, I'm like, here are the tools I use. Here's how I did it. I love to see people work. Have humility. Well, same with God. God loves to see people work. The creator loves to see people work. So I have the humility to be like, God, I showed up today. So tell me what I need to do. What am I missing? What can I do? And then he says, openness to ideas and respect for the craft. Maintaining an openness where ideas can flow without resistance or premature judgment and respect for the craft. Treating the creative act with the reverence and respect it deserves. It's not just painting. It's not just writing. It's not just numbers in Excel spreadsheets. It's not like even the business side of it. It's none of it. It's you're treating it with respect like, oh, I love this and I want to take care of it. And then in the number 6, territory versus hierarchy, personal fulfillment over external rewards, focusing on the intrinsic satisfaction from work rather than external accolades. The accolades don't mean anything. Yes, it's nice when people compliment it. Absolutely, because you want to know you're having some form of impact. But the greatest joy actually comes from knowing that you can and that you do. Period. The more you do it, you realize. And here's the deal. Because the more you do it, the more confidence and respect you have for yourself for following through in a world that, you know, you may get a lot of people who may not give you the external accolade, but are they doing it themselves? You will always be respected by others doing it, more or less. Sometimes, you know, you get a few stragglers here and there. And he talks about self-validation, learning to validate oneself based on personal effort and dedication, not external validation. I feel good every time I create something. Rick Rubin talked a lot about this in Andrew Huberman's podcast. Like, that act of doing it, you just created something from nothing. Whether it stays as a part of your life, has a longevity, or it was only a moment in time, either way, it was something that you birthed. You created from nothing. Self-reliance, depending on one's own metrics for success and avoiding comparison with others. That's huge. You guys, that's this whole podcast. I constantly talk about that all the time. What each person is after in this life is different than each person. What each person's definition of success should be different than each person. Long-term perspective, focusing on long-term achievements and improvements rather than short-term gains, and autonomy in work, taking control and ownership of one's work and processes. Let me tell you something. The autonomy is what I love, probably one of the most, because no one can tell you how to do it. You can get feedback from people doing it better and learn. Obviously, that's where the humility comes in. But to not be micromanaged, especially, I think that's the hardest part sometimes in the service-based industry, is like when you provide these services for like businesses and brands, and then like they try to tell you how to do your job. I'm like, didn't you hire me, you know, like to do it, you know? But I get it. It's a sense of control sometimes on their part. So I know how to deal with that too. And then the final part, the artist's life, discipline and consistency, maintaining a disciplined approach to work and life. Sacrifices, recognizing and accepting the sacrifices required for the creative path. I'm not going to go out all the time when I don't want to. It's an energy drain, but I like creating. I like building on the home. I like building on my craft. I like, you know, I go out to the right things that are right for me, that are aligned, but I sacrifice. I don't even look at it as a sacrifice because I'm enjoying my kingdom. I'm enjoying my home and where I'm creating from. And then lifestyle choices, making choices that support and do not hinder the creative process. Emotional resilience, developing resilience to cope with the emotional toll of creative work. That's true. I mentioned before, I had a burnout for 2 days after I dropped the apparel after the apparel site launched, just because that was a 6-7 month endeavor to get that up. And now I've got, you know, some new things I'm working on, but I needed a break in between. And then community and isolation, balancing the need for community support with the need for isolation and creativity. We still need people. We still need the right people, the right networks, the right environments. And we also need time to sit with ourselves, reflect, allow God to come through us, allow creator to come through us, allow intuition to come through us to create, to rejuvenate, to birth new ideas. You need a balance. To win at your passions, you have to break the resistance at every stage. But I will tell you this, it's worth it when you're going after things that resonate and align, than breaking through resistance for things that don't. I appreciate you guys. Thank you for tuning into every single episode. Please check the show notes for the Right Design Build Workshop, the Clarity Workshop, that's free, the Goals Workshop, it's free. But yeah, and then that will also signal you guys, you can check out the creator community that we have, any applicable episodes, back episodes, and check out the apparel, guys. And also, I got 3 more people who sent me photos of them wearing it today. Send it to me, DM me, or email it to me. I would love to take a look. I'm going to actually turn it all into a reel over time and like share with the world like what we're doing as a community. I appreciate you guys. Please leave a 5-star written review on Apple. Please leave a 5-star rating on Spotify. It helps expand the awareness of the show. I love you guys. Thank you. Until next episode, I'm out. All right, that's it. We'll stop there for right now. I hope you found this helpful and applicable in some way. I want you to remember, you do not need to fit in. And you certainly do not need to fit into some category or title, nor be put into some box. The niche is you. It always has been. Please share this with a friend and be sure to leave a rating and review. Your feedback means everything to me. And also, thank you for listening and supporting me. If you're new and you want to receive these the moment they come out, please text me 480-530-7352. Text me podcast. I promise to only send you the good stuff. Thank you. And until next time, I'm out.